RadioInfluence.com.
Welcome back to another edition of the MMA Report Podcast. It is Sunday, June the 13th, as I come in here following last night's UFC 263. Overall, a really good trio of nights of MMA action, from Thursday's PFL to Friday's Bellator 260, and of course last night's UFC 263. Of course, this is the interview edition of the show. I have got one fighter interview here on this edition of the show, as you're going to hear from Dre Miley. Dre is a guy that I've had a chance to talk to in the past. He trains out of Knoxville Mixed Martial Arts Academy. Of course, that is the gym that is run by Eric Turner, the gym that Ovince St. Preux trains at. So spoke to Dre Miley, who is coming off a knockout win, as he's trying to get people to give him opportunity. That's about the best way I can put it with Dre. Just seeking opportunities. You know, would love an opportunity on the Contender Series. And basically in this conversation that you're going to hear here momentarily, it's just basically Dre just saying, man, just give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity. And obviously there are some commissions in the past that have not, they've had questions on whether or not they want to license Dre, but Dre has been getting licensed. And great conversation that I had with him. You hear that here momentarily. Of course, as always, appreciate you taking time out of your day to download and listen to this episode of the MMA Report Podcast. Of course, if you are not subscribed to this podcast, do that on whatever podcasting platform you're listening to. Also, leave a rating and review. That really does help me out a lot as well. But let's get right into the interview. Here is my conversation with Dre Miley. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who is coming off another first-round victory at Valor Fighting Challenge 83. Dre, as always, man, appreciate the time. A first-round victory comes quickly for you, man. So before we kind of get into it, what you've been talking about in your social media, since the fight, how do you evaluate your performance?
It's kind of hard to evaluate it with it being so short. You know, I looked at it, you know, and I saw some good things. And of course, there's some things I need to work on. But overall, I'm pleased with how this new and improved version of myself is, you know, coming out right now. So I'm gonna keep building on that, and hopefully something good comes out of it.
The new and improved version. I know you're always, every fight, you're looking for a new and improved version of yourself. So what do you see in the difference in yourself from this fight as opposed to your previous fight?
Just more of the aggression and, like, believing that I can finish the fight whenever I want to or wherever I want to. So the Jose Johnson fight is the one that really, like, sparked that, you know, that fire. Is like, you can really hang in there with the best of them. It doesn't matter who it is. You can go in there and you can play your own game, and they can play catch up if they want to. So with this fight, I was like, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm still going to go out there and go 100% and then impose my will on the person.
You know, I think from the outside looking in, fans look at you know, someone like yourself, you know, they see you step into that cage, and belief is something that, you know, they probably, it never comes across their mind, you know, that, you know, so is it just that mental battle of being a fighter and just kind of everything that goes through your mind?
Yeah, you know, our coach, you know, Eric is always, he's big on mental skills, and like, that's what we do every Tuesday. We do mental work every single day, and every Tuesday we really hit it hard. So it's more of because everybody can fight. Everybody can fight. Everybody can throw punches. Everybody can throw kicks and takedowns and stuff. But it's a totally different animal whenever you can conquer yourself rather than having to conquer someone else in a fight. So if you can conquer yourself, you can do whatever. So the self-belief of me going in there, I'm like, I can do this. You know, it makes it a whole lot, you know, less stressful on myself. So that's really what it is.
Do you feel stress on fight night?
Actually, no. I don't feel at all. Like, used to, leading up to the fights, like, I'd get, like, really ramped up, or I'll be, like, flatlined to where, like, man, it's just, like, man, I don't know how to feel. It's like, I'll be dead, and then by the time fight comes, and then my adrenaline kicks up, I'm like, all right, I get ready to go, and then I'm going 1,000 miles an hour, and then I can't really, you know, be myself because I'm more worried about try to stay calm and try to be energetic and stuff like that. So these past two fights, I've just been like, man. And people look at me, they're like, Dre, you okay? It's like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? They're like, you don't act like you're about to fight. I was like, because it's not really a big thing anymore. It's like, it's easier. It's getting easier.
And of course, you know, you had tagged me in a post on Twitter about, you know, look, you're looking for that big opportunity, you know, of whether it's contender series or whatever it may be. You know, as you look at it, do you kind of just, are you just at that point in your career? It's like, man, just give me an opportunity. Is that purely what it is right now?
Right now it is, because like I fought Jose Johnson. He just came off the contender series. Like that was his last fight. Like it was that fight and then it was me. And I was like, and to say that fight went in his favor is like heartbreaking, because like everybody goes back and watch that fight. Everybody's like, you won that fight. You beat him, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And then having to fight, you know, Cody Durden, you know, what, a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And then him having that, you know, that short notice fight in UFC. Now he's in the UFC and then you see all these local guys get signed up. So, well, what do I got to do to get there? You know, so that's the reason why I was like, maybe the video will get some attention. Maybe they'll be like, okay, well, we'll snag you up for somebody that, you know, they want to build up. And the problem is that if you give me a shot, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to, you know, be that dude's stepping stone. Like, I'm going to show you that I should have been the person that you should be building up, not him.
You know, if you've got someone from the UFC Bellator watching this and, you know, they have concerns about bringing you in because of your eye, what would you say to them?
It doesn't matter. I mean, you get people cut all the time, and then they still fight. Hell, Nick Newell, he fights in Bellator. He has one arm. And then, you know, it's purely – to me, if I was a promoter and I saw somebody like that and they have a winning record with one eye, I'd be like, oh, I need to sign them, because that's money. You know, I mean, people would be like, oh, that's the guy that has one eye and he fights and he has a winning record. Like, yeah, I want to see that, because it attracts that whole, like, you know, curiosity of the humankind, because that's what we want to see. We want to see something that we never seen before. We want to see something, like, I guess, weird. So I would just – that's what I would do.
I know in talking to Tim Loy, the matchmaker of Valor, you know, he's mentioned to me about, you know, look, there's some commissions who, you know, they're going to ask Dre a lot of questions. What's the oddest question you've received from a commission?
Can I see out my left eye? That's probably the oddest one. Or like, what do you do if someone goes to the left? I was like, I circle to my left. I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's one just like, can you see or can you adapt to it? But what happens if you get poked in the eye? I was like, well, if you poke me in my left one, it won't hurt. But if you poke me in my right one, it does hurt. You know, I mean, left eye does hurt a little bit, but it ain't to the point where it's like debilitating.
I mean, I guess, you know, I look at it as a way of, do you feel like it's holding you back? Like it's because of that, that maybe some promoters are not as intrigued with it.
Holding me back? No, holding the promoters back from making money. Yeah. Because again, it's like a commodity thing. It's like, how many people can you say, oh, he fights with one eye? You can't say that. You really can't. So, I mean, like, they're like, oh, well, the promoters. And the weird thing is there's states that says yes to me all the time, like Georgia and South Carolina. They say yes. So it's not for lack of effort. It's just more of like I have to prove it to them to be like, this is worth investing in. Like, I'm worth that investment. I'm worth that extra cash flow for you to put me on your show, because you're going to make it back, period.
Have states said no to you?
I've had a few states. I had Tennessee say no to me years ago. I want to say, and I think the only state that's ever really said no and stayed on it was Kentucky, of all places. I don't know why. They allow weird things. Virginia let me fight there. Virginia was like, yeah, come on. West Virginia was like, yeah, come on. Georgia, Florida, all of them. And then Kentucky's like, nah, we're not letting you do that. And I was like, you guys don't let me fight there? You're not going to let me fight there? They're like, no. I'm like, all right, you're lost. So it is what it is.
And maybe I'm thinking of somebody else, but wasn't the situation you in Kentucky, like, wasn't like on fight week?
Mm-mm, no, that was,
it must've been somebody else. I'm thinking of that they had licensed and all of a sudden they took the license away like fight week because of something.
No, that wasn't me. No, I applied for it and they denied me like super fast. So
In terms of, you know, you mentioned about, look, you're just looking for the opportunity. You know, you just give me that opportunity. Let me show you what I can do. What is the game plan right now for you, and what's going to be next?
Right now, it's just fight. Keep fighting. Keep getting, you know, these people with winning records and just knocking them down one by one. Because I figured that most people now, they have managers and stuff like that. And me, I don't really have, like, a management team besides Eric. And Eric books all my fights. So they have people saying, hey, look at my, you know, my shiny new toy and stuff like that. With me, it's just more like I have to break down somebody's door and be like, listen, you're going to listen to me one way or the other. So that's the way the mentality is from KMA. You just, we don't ask nicely anymore. It's like, we're going to kick your door down. You're going to listen to us. And if you don't want to listen, we're going to make you listen. So,
and obviously it helps out with Valor doing events every month. So, I mean, is it kind of, is your mentality to Eric and Tim like, hey man, I'm ready to go the first week of every month. Let's just line them up.
No, Eric knows. Eric, he's always looking for people. The problem is that no one wants to fight me. They don't want to fight me, you know, for obvious reasons. Like, you know, he's got a winning record, or like some people will make up like, oh, well, I want to get paid, you know, a lot of money. It's like, dude, you got to earn your right to get there. So That's what a lot of people want. It's either money, or they make up excuses like they hurt their big toe or pinky toe or something like that. So
is that frustrating when fighters turn you down?
Oh, yeah. It's really frustrating because I'm like, well, what? Because, like, it's weird because, like, you'll have a whole camp with all your teammates and everybody that fights on the card with you. And they're like, you know, they're getting ready for a fight. You're getting ready for a fight. And then the next thing you know, the dude's like, no, I don't want to fight now. I was like, well, dude, I didn't cut all this weight. I done did all this. And you say no. And it's like, it's frustrating. Like, I had it for like a whole year. Like, I had at least 5 or 6 people out on me. I was so mad. And then they would go fight for other promotions, which made me more mad. I was like, dude, that's just dirty. And then what they would wish me good luck on, like, my fights coming up. I was like, I was supposed to fight you. Like, you could have done this already. So
Let's get a little bit to know about you here. So let's say you walk into KMMA this afternoon. Eric says, Dre, you get to choose the music that's going on. What's going on the speakers?
I mean, I really listen to anything. So, like, what really gets me to, you know, be in the mood is like if I play like 90s rap or I play like you know, something like 50 Cent or something that has a message behind it. Usually we just play whatever's on the, you know, whatever on the computer at the time. So we really don't ever pick. I mean, most time, if anybody's gonna pick, it's gonna be Vince. So, and yeah. Vince he plays Future all the time. So, you know, that's what we're usually working out to.
So when you're, you know, relaxing at home and you just kind of want to get your mind off the fight game, what do you do to just kind of relax?
Well, usually I spend time with, you know, my family, you know, because I have kids. We try to relax, you know, whenever they're not going crazy. And me and my fiance will watch TV. And I'll play video games, you know, just really that's all that stuff. I really don't have a chance to get away from the fight game because it's always around. But whenever I do, I try to go out and do something, try to, you know, try to get my mind off of it some way, shape, or fashion by playing like video games or just go somewhere.
Now, when you're sitting there and you're watching other fights, are there types of fights that intrigue you more than others?
If it's in my division, then yeah, I'll watch it fully, you know, engage in it. I'll watch and I'll nitpick and I'll try to put myself in the situations with them and stuff like that. And if it's a fighter that I really like their style, then I'll really watch it. And then sometimes I just watch it just for the heck of it. If I'm around, like, you know, other fighters, because we all watch the fights together. Mm-hmm. So if I watch it, it's just another social thing for me.
So, I mean, I think everyone knows about, you know, obviously OSP being a part of your gym. But in terms of the fighters that know how to push the right buttons to get the best out of you, who is that inside KMMA?
Probably Jason King. He's one. And James Adcock.
Okay.
Dan Bailey. Ray Hewlett. Anthony Cochran. Bronson Bazorgi, and who else? There's a few other people. Like, we all can get at each other because we all are like somewhere around the same size, so we all can pick at each other. And we usually just like start, we start jaw jacking with each other, start talking trash to each other. Especially like today, you know, everybody's like chomping at the bit because this is the day everybody, you can relax and you can be yourself. You don't have to worry about teaching classes. You can just go and do your own thing. So it's really just all of us. We all get at each other. I just named those guys because that's just off the top of my head.
Now, I was speaking to another fighter. They were talking about how they love the trash talk in a fight. They said love it. And they said what really gets them even better is when their opponent starts trash talking them too. They just fuel off that. So do you like when your opponent will kind of engage in that with you?
Oh, yeah. I think I didn't get to do it this last fight, you know, because the dude was totally respectful. But, like, me and Jose Johnson, we were talking trash, like, in the middle of the second round because he had put me in line. There was a referee trying to get order into it, and then like at one point he took his eyes off of us, and like we were jaw jacking, we was standing across from each other talking trash. I'm talking trash to him, his coaches are talking trash to me, and I'm talking trash to the coaches. And like at one point we like met up in the middle, and like we almost start fighting without the ref because it's just things. So I mean, I like it. If you're gonna do it, you better do it, because I'm not gonna stop, especially if we're fighting. And if I get a chance to, you know, get you down and or get you pinned up, I'm going to talk to you. So it's just how, that's just how it goes. It makes it fun. Michael Jordan did it. Muhammad Ali did it. So why can I not do it?
Yeah, I think fans would be probably surprised to know how much trash talking does go on in whatever the sport may be. You know, and I think because of like in this pandemic era of fighting that we've been in with no fans for, you know, the past year, I think we've got to hear a lot more of that. And yeah. I think it's kind of brought all that to light. So, but we look forward to seeing what may be next for you, Dre. Of course, let me know anything you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Okay. No, that's pretty much it. It's good talking to you about it. If everybody's not seen the clip, it's on my Facebook page. It's on my Instagram. So go look at that KO and then share it till you can't share it no more. So that way Dana White can stop ducking me and be like, we'll give you a shot, because Ultimate Fighter didn't want me on that show, which is just bizarre to me. And then the Contender Series is starting up in September, I believe. Yeah. So I'm trying to get on there. So the more and more familiarity I get with everybody, and the more they see me pop up, they'll have to be like, okay, we got to give this kid a shot so he can shut up.
And I appreciate Dre Miley coming on the show to talk about his win there at Valor Fighting Challenge. As and look, as I said right before the interview, that he is just looking for opportunity, and he's put the video of his knockout out there, and we'll see whether he gets opportunity. You know, you mentioned about the Contender Series, which I know this has been reported. I've talked about it recently as well. Of you know, the one thing you do hear is that the upcoming season of Dana White's Contender Series is going to have more of an international flair to it, and we'll see. You know, maybe Dre Miley gets an opportunity. I know Valor has an excellent relationship with Bellator, so that could be potentially an opportunity there. Of course, Bellator did come out, I want to say right before Friday's card, Nolan King, in an interview he did with Scott Coker, saying that coming up next month, Bellator is going to get back to the road, which is something that you firmly expected to happen. You know, they're not going to be in that Mohegan bubble forever, especially as more states open up. And I know last night following UFC 263, listening to Dana White, and you know, one of the questions that was asked to him was basically about kind of you know what kind of the plans are, and you can see, you know, Dana White, and he's stuck to his guns on this one, where he has said it is about going to places that are going to allow him 100% capacity. And you saw it in Jacksonville, you know, 2 months ago. Last month we saw it in Houston, and now you see it in Arizona. They're going to Las Vegas next month, and it'll be interesting to see at what point does the UFC Fight Night cards leave the Apex and go over there. But, Dana White, you know, I thought probably one of the more interesting things, I don't know how many people really caught it, was him just basically saying, like, you know, man, this is, anything can change at any moment, you know. And he goes, what's going to happen in the fall, you know? And one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting, it seemed like he alluded to the fact that various places have told them, oh, we're going to open up in 15 days. And then those 15 days come up and they're not open. So We'll see what happens there. Of course, last night, Izzy looking great in the main event. Just really was never a point where you thought Martin Vettori was going to get the job done. And, you know, I think one of the things that, I think I just wrote this maybe in the Osmo Slack channel, but one of the things that really stuck out to me about Martin was just a lack of in-fight changes. And, you know, and you just hear, you know, and I'll say this, man, kudos to Rafael, the corner of Martin Vettori, because they were brutally honest with him. I mean, look, they were making it clear, like, you lost that round. So I thought that was a great corner job there, from his corner there, that King's corner, where they just, I mean, they were brutally honest with him, but it was a great performance by Izzy and stopping the takedowns, and really Marvin just could not do much on the feet. And now we'll see about Adesanya Whitaker, the rematch, and apparently October is when Izzy does want to return. Dana White mentioned that in his post-fight interview, and of course, tremendous performance by Bram Moreno going out there and winning the flyweight title. Just an unbelievable performance by him. Just a great moment that was out there. And then, Nate Diaz nearly pulls it off in the fifth round against Leon Edwards. Just runs out of time, and now we'll see. Dana White is already basically confirmed that it is going to be Usman versus Covington, the rematch there. So we'll see what happens with Leon Edwards in terms of what kind of they do there at the top of the welterweight division. By the way, if you did not watch the prelims, I highly recommend going back and watching that Brad Riddell Drew Dober fight. That was a great matchup between those two fighters. Also, congratulations to Terrence McKinney, a recent guest here on the podcast, as he got the win there in 7 seconds, knocking out Matt Frivola. Great, you talk about just stepping up on short notice. Of course, replacing Frank Camacho, sending the healing vibes out to Frank Camacho as he was involved in that car accident. But man, what a last 2 weeks it's been there for Terrence McKinney. Then of course, on Thursday we had PFL, which really was all about the MMA debut of Clarissa Shields. And to me, my biggest takeaway from the Clarissa Shields MMA debut is more about, she was in awful positions for two rounds. And to me, it was, you didn't see panic in her. You saw composure. And then, of course, getting the win there. And it'll be interesting to see. I think the one thing with Clarissa Shields, I think it's got to be about, is if she's going to go through, if she's going to, take an MMA fight, take a boxing fight, and, go back and forth between the two, I do wonder kind of how can she evolve her skills in terms of mixed martial arts. But, I also say that I think on the other side is Brittany Elkins. I think you have to look at her. I think that a lot of, martial artists will probably look at that and say, man, she missed out on some opportunities to finish that fight. Then, of course, on Friday, we have Bellator 260. Yaroslav Amosov is the new Bellator welterweight champion. Very clear victory. I had it 5-0 for Amosov. Just looked great with his wrestling, and really just Lima. I thought we saw a lot of the same Douglas Lima that we saw there in that Gegard Mousasi matchup. Just not throwing combinations, and of course, getting taken down. And, he did have that submission attempt in the fifth round. But outside of that, just a great performance by Yaroslav Amosov. And, one of the things that, after the fights are over, you're hearing all these people talk about Michael Page is next up. And I'm like, why? Why is Michael Page next? Why is it not Jason Jackson? I'm sorry. To me, if we're gonna develop resumes, to me, Jason Jackson should be the next title. He should get the next title shot in the Bellator welterweight division. I mean, look, Michael Page has a name. He has the fighting style that everyone wants to see. But to me, the win Jason Jackson has over Neiman Gracie outweighs anything Michael Page has done. And I just think it's, for Michael Page, it's like, man, I just fight a top five fighter. I mean, that's all I want to see there. Also, Aaron Pico, what a performance, man. Aaron Pico, man, just looked amazing right from the start, man. And that's the guy that you would love to see now take on a top 10 fighter there in the Bellator featherweight division. Pico, in that post-fight interview in the cage, kind of alluded to it. Seems like maybe he's been trying to get that matchup and no one's taking the fight. Maybe it's a Mads Burnell. Maybe it's a Pedro Carvalho. Maybe it's a J.J. Wilson, but man, it's just, what a performance there by Aaron Pico. Also, the one guy in the prelims that I was really interested to see was Lucas Brennan. Great performance there at State Undefeated. Also, Justin Gonzalez, the former LFA champion, coming in and defeating Taiwan Claxton via a split decision. So, overall, I enjoyed all three nights of mixed martial arts action. I said I was at home all three nights, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great entertainment. Over the last couple of days, of course, we got a UFC fight card coming up this weekend. The Korean Zombie versus Dan Ige will be taking place here coming up on Saturday night. Of course, myself and Daniel Gavon will get you ready for that fight card coming up here on Wednesday's edition of the podcast. Of course, one of the fighters that's on that card is Julian Rosa. Spoke to him a couple weeks ago. You can check out that interview over at the MMAreport.com, also on the MMA Report YouTube channel. But just kind of looking over that fight card coming up on Saturday, to me, it's clearly all about Chan Sung Jung and Dan Ige. I will tell you, Marlon Vera is taking on David Grant, a guy that Marlon Vera is always a guy that I do enjoy watching, and so we'll see what happens there. Chaos Williams on the card. I mean, we know the type of fights that Chaos Williams can bring, so looking forward to that coming up on Wednesday's edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, as always, appreciate you taking time to download, listen to this podcast. Of course, be sure to leave a rating and review. That does help us out a lot as well. And of course, if you're not following me on Twitter, do that at @Jason_Floyd. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast, which comes out two times a week on Sundays, which is the interview edition, and on Wednesday, as I'm joined by Daniel Galvan.